Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk a bit about our life, about control in life, letting go of control in life, on our way to a much better life. Be with us, Tal, please.
Yeah.
I'm a person who always needs to be in control in life. I'm an A-type person, and I'll tell you a short story. In the Army, we navigated a lot, and navigations was always something that posed a threat to me, because we had to learn the map by heart, and you'd go into the field for hours, walking around, and you had to remember exactly where you are, and I was always afraid of getting lost. And there were other people that for them, everything was easygoing. So we'll get lost, so what? 5 kilometers in one or another direction, eventually we'll make it. And I always felt this gap. Why do I always have to be in control and I put in so much energy in order to succeed and not to get lost and for everything to be fine and so on? And I think that this is something that accompanies me a lot in life, that I have to invest, put in lots of effort for everything to turn out fine, and I'm really envious of those people that for them everything's easy, it's all easy going. And I think that many of us feel this, that we put in lots of efforts in order not to get lost and reach our goals in life. And this is what I like to ask about, being in control versus a person that is more easygoing in life, kind of having faith in life. Can you give us some advice of how to reach a more comfortable, less stressed life where you don't all the time have to be in control of everything? You can look at this from several directions. First of all, a person that doesn't care about the result, so he feels free. Whatever happens, happens. Like that Mexican person sitting with his hat under a tree, and thank God, everything passes. He's relieved of control, right? Yeah. There are those that, besides that, also drink a bit. If it's a Mexican, then tequila helps too. As it says, he who drinks, the entire world is his, there's this saying. And there are people that this is how they are, by character. He walks around in the marketplace, walks down the street, makes a bit here, maybe steals a bit there, and eventually everything falls into place. These are people that can't stand any kind of control. They don't want to control others, and also they don't want to be controlled by others. This is being free. It's like a cat in the street. He eats something somewhere, and so on. If the desire to be in control awakens in a person, then he becomes a human being, because this is what directs him in life. It positions him in life in a place where he has to reach a state where he balances out his need for control, and then he needs to know this and acquire that and organize this. And then we're not talking about control, we're talking about inclinations and desires, food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, that these are those desires that guide us in life. And the higher the desires, the more a person's connected to control, to being in control in life. It's something that he has to attain, meaning to be in control of that desire that he has, a desire, I suppose, for knowledge. And this is an evolved desire. So it doesn't give a person a moment's rest. He has to know this and that. And there are those that say, I don't understand, what is it all about? I have a different desire. I want, suppose, to have a family. And this is the only thing that I care for. The more children I have around me, everyone's shouting, I enjoy their yelling, I enjoy this entire mess. This is my pleasure. I saw these and I saw those. Those closed themselves in a library with their books. And these, to the contrary, mess, pots, diapers, you have these and you have those. Different desires. This is how they control us. Now, do we have to relieve ourselves of them or not? The question is, what does a person want in life? Meaning that, all in all, when we're born and we have desires, and we also have reshimot, which means kind of informative genes that exist in us that we have to realize. So here there's a question that I awaken more and more from day to day, from year to year, from childhood and on, and I'm asking, what do I want? Either, what do I want to buy, or what do I want to be in control of, which is one and the same. So, what do I want? And here a person has to sort things. Maybe we're not teaching our children enough in this direction. We only tell them, go and study in this direction or that direction. Here you can make more money or less money. And this is actually how we direct our life. But it's incorrect. Because those desires that we have received from our life, from the vital force, these desires of ours, they have to bring us to the goal. I think that one of the things that motivates a person that makes him want to be in control of life is the fear of maybe not having, that he has to make an effort in order to attain different things, and he doesn't think that, okay, everything's going to be fine. And this fear pushes him to make an effort, and the question is this a correct drive? Or no, these are already psychological problems. It doesn't have to do with the essence of the matter. I want to attain something, so I'm more stressed or less stressed. The question is, what I want to attain? Is it good for me to attain it? Should I exert myself to attain it or not? And will I be more stressed or less stressed? This isn't it a matter of having faith in life, or what do you mean by faith in life? That there are people that have this kind of faith, that everything's going to be fine, that everything's going to fall into place, that life is leading us to a good place, and there are people that don't feel that. They feel that they themselves have to be in control of life in order to make things good. So that depends on the type of person. So what are you asking? How can a person reach a feeling of having faith in life? He should take a tranquilizer, a sedative. I don't understand, what does it give him, having faith in life? That I'm calmer? What does it mean to have faith in life? That I believe that life and its natural flow will lead me to good things? So people can drink some alcohol, and then they'll have faith in life. This is what I'm hearing. I don't see this as something that can solve problems in life. You're only talking about how to calm down different problems in life. Not only how to calm them down, but also in terms of planning ahead. A person that doesn't have experience in life might think that he's the one controlling the world. And if he'll exert himself enough, he'll get what he wants. Over time, as a person matures and he gets some common sense in life, he feels fatigue. Not necessarily fatigue, but a person that has common sense knows that not 100% of what happens in life is in his control. I'm not saying that he becomes a drunk or that he sits in some street corner or something. There are people that are billionaires, and this is their attitude towards life, an attitude that says that you have to be a bit more modest in regard to you being in control of the world. There is a smaller or larger percent of things in life that are completely not under your control, and no matter what you do, there's something about the unknown, about destiny that's not in your hands, and it doesn't matter who you are or how smart or rich you are. And then people say, okay, we have to as if divide our life into two areas. We have to focus on those things that we think that are in our control and to make our maximum effort there. But once you did what you could, where you could do it, then in that area that's not under your control, let go, because it won't help. You might think that you're in control there and make an effort and so on, but it won't help. How can I know? That's the question. That's the question. Of course. It's also written, God, help us see what's in our control and what isn't, and help us care for what is and not to care for what's not, and how to tell the two apart. So how do we move from this place where a person doesn't know and doesn't understand, and he's like pushing the gas on neutral, to a place where he's more conscious, where he understands reality? How can we move a bit forward? Impossible. I can't give you some kind of candies on the way. The wisdom of Kabbalah is about a person having to know how to live his life by building the mechanism of life for himself. And this can be done only by entering the correct society, what we call a 10, and building his life there, only that way. Because a single person doesn't have the power to operate, activate nature, to activate the forces that are surrounding him. But if he's in a 10 with 9 other people like him, a few more, a few less, it doesn't matter, but in a group, then the group can generate such positive forces between them where he can already start managing his life, and so much so that he reaches a state where even though that he's not yet relieved of life, because then he reaches the realization of the human level in him, but he feels himself free then. It doesn't pressure him. To the contrary, he has plenty of air and strength and a feeling of an eternal life, because he's living inside a system and he starts feeling that the system itself is eternal. Just to see if I understand, you say that a single person can't build such a mechanism for himself that will help him distinguish what is that area in life where he has to put in his efforts because it is under his control, and that area where it's a waste of time because it's not in his control. But if he'll start working in a group with other people, then in his special connection with those other people, they can build such a mechanism. Correct. And this reminds me that in the past, in the army, I lived in a kibbutz. And in the kibbutz, you have this feeling that everything's very clear. Meaning what? It's clear that you have to work all day long doing what the kibbutz needs you to do in one field or another according to your qualification and skills. This is clear. This is agreed upon. And it's also clear that as an individual, you don't have to care for your livelihood, health services, nothing. The only thing you have to be concerned with is putting in your share and you're relieved of everything else. You don't have problems like people in the city have. You have a minus in the bank or something. Maybe the kibbutz has financial problems, but that's on the macro level. It's not something that you're particularly concerned with. Why did I remember that? Because if I'm with other people, then I can build such a mechanism that if, God forbid, something happens, the other people that I build this mechanism with them, they will support me like a kind of mutual guarantee, like in the army. No. Of course, but this isn't what I mean. It's much beyond that. So if you can explain. The fact that we're correctly connected in what you call the group, yes. We generate new laws of nature between us that previously we didn't see or feel. They didn't act in us. We didn't touch them. If we want to be devoted to one another, helping each other, as it says and love another as yourself, and so on. And this way, we suddenly feel that there is a new law that applies to us, the law of arvut, of mutual guarantee, of mutuality, reciprocity. And we begin to feel that this is already a second nature that starts working between us, a nature of bestowal, of love, of connection. This is something that doesn't exist in the world, in the relationships between people, but to the contrary. And by doing this, we relieve everyone of their need for control. I don't want to control anything. I want for that general force that we generate between us, for it to be in control, for it to control me and all of us together. And then, when we start getting to know it, to feel it, we feel that it's what controls us, what manages us. And it's written about this, that our heart shall rejoice in it. So you're saying that if people come together, suppose the three of us will come together and we decide that between us we want to build this kind of connection that I didn't exactly understand, but we'll get to that, then in this special connection between us, we can generate a mechanism that will really detect, like a sensor, that will perceive in it the upper force of nature that actually controls everything and everyone, even now, only I'm not detecting it, and therefore I can't discern what is in my control and what is in its control. Is this correct? Partially. So can you fine-tune us? No, that's impossible. What do you want to know? We want to know how can a person reach a state where he can let go of his need for control, but in a positive way. I devote myself to such a group. I participate in whatever they ask. I really devote myself to that. Then I'm relieved. What relieves you here? It sounds like you became devoted to someone. Right, but I'm devoted to that general force, our general force, that's called the creator or the upper force or the power of the group or the power of mutual guarantee. I'm devoted to that, and there I feel that I exist in complete confidence. What is that force? Bestow and love. And what does it have to do with my destiny about what's going to happen with me tomorrow morning? I have no tomorrow morning. I know that I'm all the time in this force. What do you mean you have no tomorrow morning? That I really even rise above that. I don't feel time. I feel all the changes only in relation to this force. But still, a person has to make decisions in life. He's under different kinds of pressure. He has a family, kids, this, that. Right. So how should he act in life? He should act normally. As a result of his connection with such a group, he'll know how to correctly act in life. He'll know where's the boundary between where he's in control and where he should let go. So he'll feel that there's a connection between everything that happens with him in life. Of course. That upper force dwells in and is in control of everything, but also man, there's an area that he has to take care of. The corporeal life in this world is something that he has to take care of, but along with it, he will see how that general force of the group that he generates, how it helps him arrange life and to correctly relate to all of its realms. Okay, I want to ask about this device that you call the group that helps a person to discover, to reveal the upper force, and then a person starts understanding where's that boundary between what's in my control and what's not? And then, okay, everything falls into place and I know what to focus on. Now I want to understand, what is this device, this tool that you call a group? In life, there are many groups. Usually, these are individuals that join together in order to achieve a certain goal, and then they do something together in order to attain that thing that each of them in particular probably can't achieve. So what exactly is this group that you're talking about? What's special about it? What characterizes it? That they're a mutual guarantee. So it's like in a kibbutz. In the kibbutz, if someone, God forbid, he's really ill or something, it's not like in the city that you have to become a beggar or something. The entire kibbutz are responsible for him. You don't have to worry about yourself. So is it like something like that? Suppose. No, it's much beyond that. It's something that you can't explain in words. It's that in the ten, everyone gets this kind of feeling that they're a part of the same body. And then that upper force that is revealed in them gives them a feeling that they're one. How did they reach a state where they have revealed the upper force between them? How did they do it? Yeah, what did they do in order to reveal this force that's hidden from everyone and they suddenly revealed it? What did they do in order to reveal this force? By connecting between them according to the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's not simple. It's not something that happens at once, and it's not something that you can tell about in a few minutes. It's a person that works on his ego until he rises above it, until he reaches a state where he connects with other people and they go into mutual guarantee, mutual responsibility. They work on their ego, above the ego, to connect. So letting go of their control, where they let go of their control over others and they connect between them and mutual guarantee as a group in a circle, where there's no one greater or smaller, but everyone's equal. There are rules to this connection. Maybe 20 rules. This force that they discover, you described it as something that exists in our life even now, before we entered a group, went into a group and revealed it. How is it expressed in a person's life? It's not expressed in the life of every person, as you put it, but there are people that feel an inclination towards that, to get to know the upper force, to understand what is or what controls their life or how to gain control in life. And then they reach a state where they want to let go of this control and to attribute themselves to that force that's in control. Before people start studying about and attaining the upper force, everything that happens to them in life, does it have some kind of meaning? Can it guide them in some way? Can they learn something from it? Or it doesn't matter what they do in life. I don't understand. It doesn't matter what they do in life. I'm talking only about the connection in that group. Mankind has to get organized. Were mankind to organize itself in such groups, in such tens, it would have freed itself from the need to be in control and would have put itself in the hands of a higher control, which is nature. And by doing so, it would have reached the safest and most relieved state. And what makes it the safest state? Safest because it's under the control of the upper force, that one way or another is in control. But what we're getting is a result of as if being in resistance to it. So the upper force is one way or another in control, and in the future, humanity will reach a state where it will gather in such groups that will, and in general, into one big group, and then they will be able to let go of the control, then it would feel that it is under a higher control. This entire process you just talked about, how is it different from people that are religious fanatics, that are 100% sure that their life is controlled by the upper force, and they let go of the control and they say everything comes from God, They're saying, who are you? What are you? You're like a little ant in the world. You're not in control of anything. Let go. It's not in your hands. How's that different from the process you've just described? I'm not familiar with what you're talking about. I'm only saying that a person that wants to attain the upper force has to, as it says in the Torah, reach a state of love another as yourself. This is what is realized in the 10. And then they reach a state where that upper force is revealed inside the connection of love between them. And therefore, they come from love the created beings to love the Creator. Meaning that they unite with the whole of nature. With the still, the vegetative, the animate, the speaking level, meaning human beings, everything that we know about and don't know about, and with nature as a whole. And it's completely unrelated to Torah or mitzvot or different religious actions and so on. Yeah, but you did talk about putting ourselves in the hands of the upper force. That's fine. There are many methods. I'm talking about the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah. So, just to understand, how is the wisdom of Kabbalah different from billions of other people that put their trust in the upper force because they believe in one thing or another? I'm not familiar with other methods. I'm not. I don't want to know about them. This is the method that I chose for myself. And to this day, it seems that I don't regret it. 1 minute left. What does the wisdom of Kabbalah have to say about letting go of control in life? Is it correct or not? I'm not letting go of my control in life. I'm going with it. With the 10, with the upper force that I reveal in the 10, and that's called Israel, the light and the creator are one, that all of us together, I and the 10 and the upper force that is revealed in the 10, which is the force of love and connection, we're all together, and this way I feel that I'm in a whole and complete system that is not lacking anything, and that all the worlds exist in it. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.